take a look here on page 58, the left column on the bottom. The Inyan Smichus Birchas Kohanim Leparshas Nezirus. In regards to the juxtaposition of the Birchas Kohanim, the bracha that the Kohanim give the Jewish people, to the parsha of Nezirus, and the person who takes a vow to become a Nazir. Why are they written next to each other? Lahodia, to make known. Kigam hapratim, hamithalim mibnei dorim. That even those individuals who elevate themselves over and above the rest of the generation, Nazir Kodesh LaHashem, like a Nazir who sanctifies himself and dedicates himself to God, so he's lifting himself off. Nazir is that separating himself, lifting himself off of the rest of the generation.
Hi.
Afal Pikein. Nonetheless, Tzarichin Levatel Ma'aseihem HaTovim El HaTzibur. They still must direct their good deeds, focus them, be mevatel them even, pardon me, to the tzibur, to the community of Israel. The leda, and to know, ki yatsu min haklal, that they themselves emerge from out of this klal, from out of this whole group. As one who is zocha to elevate themselves and be more sanctified than the rest of the people of the generation, will look at it. This person does not look at himself as being apart from them, but rather that this is where I came from. It was because I was born into this community of people, Bnei Yisrael, that I was able to ascend. This is really where I started from. This is my base. L'lameda ha'klal kula, to teach about the whole community itself. Now this is a little bit of a play on words, that you have one of the 13 principles of Rabbi Yishmael that we say every morning. So the klal, which is the yotzei min haklal, the detail which comes out of the group, it's lalamed, it teaches us about the whole group. Sometimes the Torah will take a detail out of a group, we'll learn something about that detail, and then that which we have learned is projected back onto the whole group. So here he's saying it here in this context as well, that the person sanctifies himself, they emerge out of this klal, they become nazir, their holy person. It's lalamed al haklal kula. It's in order to teach that all of these abilities came from the fact that this is where I come from. This is the community I have arisen from. Not that I'm separate from it. Ukamohe. Likewise, ha-kohanim, our kohanim, the kohanim of our people, shenivcharu mibnei Yisrael, which were chosen out of the people of Israel, lihios miyuchadim la'avodas ha-mikdash, and they are specific and unique in their avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. We're on page 59 on the table. Afal pi kein, hakol hoya ba'avur haklal. The avoda of the Kohanim, even though they were the select group who could perform the avoda, who were zocha to do the avoda, it's all for the sake of the klal. It's all for the sake of the Jewish people that they're doing this. Sheyamshichu habracha leklal Yisrael, to bring forth their blessings into klal Yisrael. So now, this is what he says. Why are these two parshios in the Torah written next to each other? 59 on the bottom. We want to look on the view of it. Why are they written next to each other? It says, a Nazir comes out of the klal and does not look at himself as separate from the klal, but rather, I come from the klal. This is where my abilities came from. I'm directing my powers to the community. Likewise, a Kohen who was selected off of Bnei Yisrael to do the Avoda, it's not being selected for the sake of isolating oneself from the group, but rather being selected in order to do avoda for the sake of the group. So the one who is elevated is doing their avoda not leman themselves for the sake of their own elevation, but they're given a special opportunity now to do even greater things for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And that's a comparison then between the Kohanim and the Nazir, why they're written next to each other.
But yeah, there seems to be also a difference, is that the Kohen is basically chosen by Hashem.
Yes.
Where the Nazir, it's a self-chosen.
Right, and I think that that, you know, even all the more so, that what one who chooses himself could really start to think that there's something special. And a Kohen says, I was born this way, Hashem made it like that. Another could say, you know, this is it, I'm being menazer, I'm separating myself from the Klal. So we're telling him, look at the Kohen, right? Hashem selected the Kohen, and his avoda is for the Tzibur. You're a Nazir, but your avoda is for the Tzibur too. So I think he even has more of a chance, in a certain way, to think that he's something special because he's making that choice. Now the other side of that is the Kohen could also say, I'm special because I was chosen by God. That had nothing to do with me. I'm so special because God chose me. So he's got something to learn also to make sure to direct his avoda to the Klal.
Is this supposed to remind the Nazir that his avoda is for the Klal?
For the Klal, right.
And that's
where he came from.
Even if his choice to become a Nazir was for individualistic reasons, because on the other hand we have the principle of why smichat the sofer.
Nonetheless, anything he accomplishes in Kedusha, he has to recognize where he came from and to direct his energies to the Tzibur. So two things. One is directing the new levels of Kedusha to the Tzibur, and the other one is knowing that, you know, this is my base. This is the base of operations. I came out of Klal Yisroel. Whatever I attained, I couldn't have attained without coming from this nation of Israel.
As it is, this thing looks like a place where I was just trying to think, because isn't Sota between these two, actually?
Is it between, or Sota after?
Sota is before Nazir.
Sota is before Nazir. Yeah.
Just before Nazir.
Where's Berachas Kohanim?
After
Nazir?
Yeah, but you can
I
see.
They would be next to
it. It would be next year. I was just trying to think. But it actually plays out. You have in Sota a person who thinks separated themselves for their own pleasure or whatever. And you can see what happens there.
Right.
So these two fall along. You can separate yourself, but it's better be for the right reasons.
For the right reasons.
Yeah, I've lost track of where the...
But it also seems that the Nazir is separating himself from some of the things in our everyday world. So in a sense, I don't know if the ever... You know, I'm just... I don't know if...
He is doing that. He's
so here it is, the abstaining... from something in this in our Olam Hazeh,
which he's criticized for in a certain way.
It's easier and not harder in one sense. I mean, it's such a fine line. Right. It's both. All this is both. You know.
I mean, isn't there a slightly negative connotation being
Yes.
You've got to
bring
it.
Hashem allowed you to drink wine and you're taking yourself. You know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a personal choice. If he knows that he's weak. And that he has to separate himself, so he's allowed to do it. But as you say, we're telling him that there's something of the negative about this choice.
Can you expand on the whole concept of why other mashkas are butter, but not specifically just
not wine? Most likely, it derives from the Eitz Hadas, mm-hmm. that the afil of the Eitz Hadas, according to one day, was a grape, mm-hmm. and that's the the ikur priyagefen is wine. So usually in Sforim, whenever something is related to wine, it has to be associated with that.
Okay.
Now the other thing is, and this applies during the 9 days when you're not allowed to drink wine, but you are allowed to have schnapps,
mm-hmm.
not to make levity, but you're allowed to make a lefayim and have some schnapps. And that has to do with the avod in the Beis HaMikdash, right? That we don't eat meat and we don't drink wine because the karbanos and the nesachim were meat and wine.
Other things
we're allowed to set in Shabbos. Other things we're allowed to have. But that could be the same concept that
right.
the avod is with the ayin in the Beis HaMikdash
right.
as a tikkun for the fate of the Eitz Hadas. Okay. Also, just to clarify that, it does mention here Nazir following Sota, that's that Rashi and that we all know. And then the Birchas Kohanim follows Nazir.
Right, I've lost track.
So it is actually right next to it.
So it's Sota, Nazir.
Sota, Nazir, Birchas Kohanim.
Well, it's interesting too because the implicit criticism of the Nazir is that he's separating himself somewhat from the Tzibur, and the Kohen is really sort of the embodiment of the representative of the Tzibur.
And it could be that in that respect, you know, the lesson is that the criticism of the Nazir, as we're saying, is that he has ostered certain things for himself. The Kohen never did that.
Mm-hmm.
No, he not only does he drink wine, but he drinks wine in a very sanctified way. He's ma'ala, he lifts up, he drinks wine in the base. Actually, he doesn't. He's not allowed. That's the meat of the carbonate. But he's certainly not usher to drink wine. He's usher from being drunk.
When he does
at the time of the Avodah, he's usher to be drunk. The only thing he's restricted from, really, is tuma. And that's also imposed by God. That's not self-imposed by himself.
Which is also inspired.
Right. Right.
I wonder if you might sort of extend your thinking into the many different ideas of the mice of Nadav and Avihu, of sort of saying that they were Nebuchina of Kohanim, who in a sense tried to be like Nazir, tried to do something that was beyond the pale of their avodah, separate from the Kohanim.
It's a little bit, except they were not doing it through restricting themselves. They were going too far.
Right.
In their room.
You make a connection if you need the Nazir and then a Kohanim for completeness, and you end up the Parsha with tribes, each, all 12 of them bringing
offering their korban. Nice idea. Okay. Go a little bit to there. Aharon HaKohen zocha l'mitzvah zu b'koach zeh habitul. Aharon HaKohen, he merited this mitzvah, right, page 59 there. Dr. Moreline.
He did this one.
He merited this mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, of blessing the Jewish people, through being mevatel himself to the nation. Aaron was zocha to that. Kidichsiv, as it says, Vayisa Aaron es yodav el ha'am vayivorchein, it says that Aaron lifted up his hands unto the people. So his Birchas Kohanim was el ha'am, to the people, and he blessed them. Because through Chazal, shezocha mikan the Birchas Kohanim, there's a Chazal on this. This happened earlier in the Torah, in Sefer Vayikra, when they dedicated the Mishkan. Remember, everything was done, and then Aaron tried, and the Shechina was not shoreh. He called Moshe Rabbeinu and said, "This is an embarrassment to me." They went inside, and they were mispalo, and then the Shechina came down, and then Aaron blessed the people. So the Chachamim say, from that bracha that Aaron gave the nation, at the end of the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, he was zocha to give Birchas Kohanim later. He was zocha from that first bracha. And the idea he's saying is, what does it say there in that first bracha? El Ha'am. That he directed his hands to the people, lifted up his hands to the people by Yivorachim. Shehichnis kol kocha l'klal Yisrohol v'zehu yadav El Ha'am. That he brought in all of his power to Klal Yisrael, and that's what it means, Yadav, his hand, and the word Yad also means power, it means strength, to the people. He directed his strength to the people. That's interesting, because Birchas Kohanim, which is, you know, one of the remaining things that a Kohen does today, which is somewhat related to their Avodah originally, it's a communal experience. The Kohanim are selected, but if we think about Birchas Kohanim, you have the kids, and they're under the talisim, and everybody gets inside. Mm-hmm. So that's their job. They're unique. They're the Kohen, but what kind of experience is it? It's an experience of the Klal. And we say the word B'Ahava. They're blessing B'nai Yisrael B'Ahava. So they're singled out, not to be singled out, but to actually enhance the whole feeling of the group.
Sure, the idea behind the tefillah that we say or don't say, in Birchas Kohanim,
that comes from the Gemara, actually. Uh-huh. That it's a good time to transform a dream into good, because the great powers of Chesed that are available during Birchas Kohanim, it comes from the Gemara Brachas.
There's an interesting halacha. If you have a minyan composed entirely of Kohanim at the time of the Dukkanim, at least one of them has to be out in the audience.
It has to be a recipient.
Yeah,
a kabbal.
Got to be both.
And so they need somebody to hold that guy down.
V'hevin ki me'yitam hu koach avodaso. Now he's saying more than that. It's not only that Aaron directed all of his energies to the Klal, but he understood that his specialness came from them. He was a Kohen, and his koach came from Klal Yisrael. V'alderach halatza yesh lomar siyum hapasuk Vayered me'asos achatas, we could say, he says through a derush, that pasuk previously in Vayikra, where it says he came down from offering the korban chatas, Vayered hu lashon ridui umemshala, we could say Vayered, he came down as a lashon of authority, of the lashon of ruling over somebody, kamo Vayered miyam al yam, as it says, he conducted or he led from sea to sea or from ocean to ocean. I think that pasuk is maybe from Tehillim. I'm not sure.
So that's the origin of the expression now when someone's down on you.
Lomar shebekoach pa'ula zu shal nesius yadav, to say that through this power of lifting his hands el ha'am to the people, hishlito hakadosh baruch hu, then because he was so willing to put himself to the people, Hashem said, okay, you're zoche to stand in a certain sense of authority over the people. You're concerned about the people, that's how you're zoche to authority. Vayered v'koach ze yoser mi v'koach guf asiyas chatas v'olo shlemen. And Vayered, he got even more power of authority and leadership over the people in the positive sense, more than the chatas, more than the ola, more than all the karbanos that he had offered, more than that, he was zocha to kahuna because of his complete dedication to the people.
Then it's actually only through the people's acceptance, not Hashem's acceptance. It's a given that Kohen is given this right. It has nothing to do, in a sense, so I won't get into where he stands in kavana and purity,
mm-hmm.
but it's the... It's Am Yisrael's acceptance of him which allows this to happen. Because alone, it's...
He can't do it alone.
It's alone, it doesn't matter what Hashem has given him. It's the acceptance from Am Yisrael that gives
right.
the strength.
Within the cloth, right. Yeah. I think it's a tremendous lesson on leadership, you know, what a leader is, and the goals of a leader in respect to the people. It's being elevated off of the people for the sake of the people and deriving strength and zechus from the people. It's a tremendous insight into what authentic leadership really is. And where poor leadership and even destructive leadership ends up separating from the people and becoming a power and an ego.
This is Russ Limbaugh broadcasting from Tiferes.
Yes.
No, definitely not.
No,
okay. I got it.
You picked the wrong guy.
I got
it. Okay.
Important thought to the election in Israel
is
a dead heat.
Right.
Is it still in a dead heat?
I heard that he was.
Netanyahu had a 50.3 versus 49.6.
Good point out.
They
actually call it?
That's what I heard.
But now there
should only be good things.
We get a more reliable
They still have the absentee ballots from the soldiers.
Right.
You would think they would vote for that.
Most of whom are now cab drivers in Los Angeles.
If they're cab drivers in Los Angeles, they can't vote.
They can't vote.
Yeah, no, that
should be for Shalom Yisrael.
I mean, whatever it is.
Somebody saying were there charter flights, election flights, because you have to be in the state to vote.
Yeah, you know, I was at the embassy, yes, Israeli embassy yesterday. I didn't realize you couldn't vote.
Unless you're there.
And you would have thought you could vote inside the Israeli embassy because it's logically Israeli territory. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's not.
Except for
voting purposes. I mean.
Again, this is Chaim Blum. He said that the Aguda was paying any citizens to fly over and vote, paying their way. You know.
Went down.
Went
down.
Let's take a look at 63 on the right, in the middle. We'll dwell a little bit on Berchas Kohanim, a little bit more. It's a nice thing to dwell on. Me'inyan Berchas Kohanim. Hagimel brachos hein bechinas gimel avos. The Berchas Kohanim are in the bechina of the three avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. You notice that you've been in a shul sometimes where after each statement of the Berchas Kohanim, Yerecha Hashem Yishmerecha, when the Shliach Tzibur says it, you might hear some people say, Bizachus Avraham Avinu. Then Yara Shampana Belech of Yitzhak Bizachus Yitzchak and Bina Yisai Shampana Bizachus Yaakov and Bina. Not when they do the bracha on Yom Tov, but when the Shulat Seber does the bracha, some have the minhag to say that following each phrase of the bracha.
So that not after the Kohanim say.
Yeah, then we say Amen.
Right. Yeah, those pesukim that we don't say in the Beres Kohanim, where does that come from?
I don't know where that came from. Uh-huh. Those pesukim of bracha.
But that we don't say that because it's considered a hefsek, right?
Yeah, well, kind of. Yeah. It's not really hefsek. We're not really saying the bracha, but we're being makabel the bracha. We're not being yotze with the bracha, but we try not to say anything while we are receiving the bracha. Mm-hmm. So in between, the phrases, there's a makom to say that tefillah about the dream, because that has a makor in the Gemara.
Right. Yeah. But the other one doesn't have
the other one, not that I know of.
No. That's the only.
I'm sure it has a makor because it's in most sedurim. I just don't know what's a makor.
The tefillah, that's, isn't those tefillahs, isn't that just during the last word, though?
After each phrase. After the last word of the phrase.
So they say the Skuris
Avraham during the nigger, that's right.
After the whole phrase is complete.
After the phrase is
after
complete,
they say,
the Shulach Sibra says it not the Kohanim, and you might hear people say these are Skuris Avraham Avinu, etc. After each phrase.
What is
Is that a Minhag Tov?
The Minhag Tov, yeah.
It is, would that be said on an occasion like when Shavuos fell on Shabbos, don't say that.
Yeah. When the Kohanim don't do it.
Well, like last Shabbos.
When they don't sing, you mean?
Right.
I don't know if we say that when we're actually doing Birchas Kohanim. I don't know. I've only heard it during Shul. Birchas Aras Hashan. I don't know.
You could have occasions.
I hear what you're saying. I just don't know.
I know there was somewhere, I'm familiar that in Shavuos, it was said in a certain shul.
We duchen.
All right.
Yeah,
but didn't
sure. But we don't sing.
Okay.
Right, because you don't say that little tefillah on dreams on Shabbos. And they sing. Part of the singing is to allow people the time to say that tefillah about dreams and about parnasa. But we don't say those on Shabbos.
Do they know
so
that?
So we don't sing that.
Okay.
We do duchen, but we don't sing.
Do they know that? That they're supposed to allow that?
That's why they're singing. Okay. Vayin Masha Kasi Baparshas told us ki yesh gimel brachas bakol mikol kol. There are three brachas. It says in Parshas told us bakol, mikol, and kol, which we say at the end of benching, which is also Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Go perash nisham. We have explained there ki mikol, the bracha mikol, which is keneged Yitzchak, hu bracha nifredes. That is the bracha which has become separated from its source. Bakol, which is for Abraham, hu davu yoser bashorish, is more attached to the source of the bracha. Kol, which is Yaakov, hu shoresh makor habracha atzmo, it is actually the source of the bracha. So we have three stages. We have the source of the bracha, we have coming off of that source, the bracha separated off from the source, and then we have finally the bracha as it lands in this world. Vehei bechinas nefesh ruach neshama. These are also corresponding to the three realms of our neshama, nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Neshama being the highest of the three. Vehina yivarecha hu bechinas yitzchak. Okay, this is not the way the minhag is to say bizachus Avraham, bizachus Yitzchak, but he's saying that yivarecha, the first line of Birchas Kohanim, is the dimension of Yitzchak. Zeshekasuv Rashi, as Rashi says there, Va'avarechacha b'mamon shehi bracha nifredes kitzas. And when Hashem says to Abraham, I will bless you with money, it's a bracha nifredes. Money has taken shape. It's taken form in this world. You recognize it as something of plenty in this world. Halavai. V'sham kisi v'avarechacha Veshakasuv Eloke Yitzchak Ayin Sham. And there it says Vavarechacha, and it says there Eloke Yitzchak. I'm not sure what that's referring to. So this Vavarechacha and Yivarechacha Birchas Kohanim is the Bechina of Yitzchak and a bracha which has taken shape in our world. Behitzchel Bibracha Zu, why does the Birchas Kohanim begin with this bracha? Kishorish HaBrachot Nimtzeru Biyad Yitzchak. Because the source of brachos were given over to Yitzchak, V'lachen kesiv kan v'yishmerecha. And therefore, this first line of the Birchas Kohanim, Yivarecha Hashem, ends v'yishmerecha. Shetzorech shemira shelo yihiyah la'esav achiza b'zeh. That the brachos need a shemira, that they should not go over to Esav. Now, as we know, the way the Torah plays this out is that Yitzchak has the brachos from Avraham Avinu. Then when Yitzchak wants to give the brachos over, there's a tremendous struggle between Esav and Yaakov, spiritually, physically, and Yaakov ends up with the brachos. So there's a concept here that the brachos in the hands of Yitzchak require shemira from Esav. Just as then the brachos in Yitzchak's hands had to be protected from going over to Esav, and Rivka did that, so in general the concept of a bracha which Yitzchak has, which is already nifrat, it's very much part of this world, even though he wasn't, but the bracha from him is part of this world, it needs protection from Esav. So consequently, the first line of Birchas Kohanim, V'yishmerecha, this bracha needs protection so it does not go to bad places. That's the beginning. U'mehai time of Birchas Yitzchak ena devuka ko kach deshoresh mitzad chelak Esav. Therefore, this bracha, which comes through Yitzchak, is not so attached to its source because there is this danger of Esav, vulnerability to Esav. Then the second bracha, Yoer Panav, Hu Ha'ara Min HaShoresh B'chinas Abraham Bakol. The second one is Yoer Hashem Panav. He says this is the realm of Abraham, which is called Bakol, which is a Ha'ara. We do sense some of the radiation from the source, but not the source itself. He doesn't elaborate. Yisahu B'chinas Neshama. The third that bracha in Birchas Kohan, the third phrase, is the realm of Neshama, Midaso Shal Yaakov Ish Tam Shalom, the trait of Yaakov, who's a person who's pure and holy and whole, and that's the source itself. Okay, so again, this structure that he's setting out is Yitzchak, Avraham, Yaakov. It is not the way the minhag of many people is to answer Birchas Kohanim. We say Bizachus Avraham Avinu first, then Bizachus Yitzchak, then Bizachus Yaakov. So his machshava here is not in accordance with that. But it is in accordance with the order of the Seudos of Shabbos. Because Friday night Seuda corresponds to Yitzchak. Mm-hmm. That's Atiko Kadisha. The Shabbos day Seuda corresponds to Avraham. No, excuse me, Friday night is Chakot Habuchim Kadisha. I need to sit here for a minute. Friday night is Yitzchak. Shabbos day is Abraham, and Shalashudas is Yaakov. Now there's a lot written about that as to why the Suda of Yitzchak is Friday night and Abraham is Shabbos day, why they reverse. But it's a similar idea that he mentions here at Birchas Kohanim. Let me just check. In the Zemiro says from the Arizal, Askinu Suudasa, yeah, Friday night is Chakal Tapuchin Kadishin, right, the field of the holy apples. Mystical term. That refers to Yitzchak. Shabbos day is Atiko Kadisha, literally the Holy Ancient One. That refers to Abraham. And Shalashudas is the Aaron Pin, and that refers to Yaakov. Okay, let's see if he elaborates a little bit. Ve'ikr birchas kohanim lihios b'nei Yisrael muchanim l'kabel habracha. This is what everybody said earlier. The ikr in birchas kohanim is for B'nai Yisroel to be prepared to receive the bracha. That's part of it. The Moshe Kasub, as it's written, V'samu Hashemi al B'nai Yisroel, you will place my name on the Jewish people. That's the goal. Ki k'v'yochol HaKadosh Baruch Hu muchan tamid l'vorechas B'nai Yisroel. Hashem is always prepared to be mevorech. Brachas from Hashem are ongoing, they're perpetual. K'moshe Kasub tov b'nei Hashem l'vorechas Yisroel. It says, it is good in the eyes of Hashem to bless the people. Rak sheyihiyu kelim lekabel habracha. But we need to be recipients, kelim, vessels, to hold on to this bracha. The bracha is always there. We just have to latch on to it. V'lachein hi b'nesidus kapayim. Therefore, this bracha comes through the lifting of hands from the Kohanim. Lermo sheheim luchanim lekabel habracha, kamo shekasu Su Yudechem Kodesh, it's showing that the Kohanim are ready to receive this bracha, and that means to say to receive it and to deliver it. Because there are those who say that the Kohanim also receive the bracha. They're the vehicle and they're also the recipient, according to Tzad. Pardon me? It's Vavorachem. It's a question, does that mean the Kohanim or does that mean Bnei Yisrael? There's two opinions. In the Beis HaMikdash, Hayu Misalim B'Yoser El HaShoresh, in the Beis HaMikdash, they were much more elevated when they gave this bracha, and they were closer to the source of the bracha itself. Kamosha Kasa B'Mikdash, Hayu HaKohanim Nosim Kapeim Amala Meirosheim.
Is this in the Mishnah?
Pardon me? Oh, I'm sorry. In the Mishnah, as it says, there they would lift their hands over and above their heads. When the Kohanim do it now, they do it at a level equal to their heads, outside the Beis HaMikdash. Inside the Beis HaMikdash, they would put their hands above their heads. And that showed that they were attached more so to the source of the bracha.
Do we have, I heard an allusion to this, but I didn't really understand it. Are there restrictions on, like, our lifting our hands and davening or things like that?
Our lifting our hands up?
It'd be above our head, something like that.
Splitting your fingers.
No, I mean, you know, like...
Just doing that in general?
In davening, is there...
I don't know.
Okay.
It's said not to, that a person should not look up like that because that's considered haughty.
Uh-huh.
To look up, you know, it doesn't mean you should never do that, but to daven in that position, it's considered haughty. A person is supposed to have their head downward.
I thought you could look above, if you had like a skylar, you could look above and.
You can do that to inspire your kavanah. But the correct position is for a person to look downward, the eyes toward the ground, and see what.
Is that related to the idea of Niyamakim Karasim?
Looking downward?
Looking downward or not?
I don't believe so.
Because I was going to say, you would have that, and you'd have the opposite of Esa Enayamahara.
Right.
We don't sort of associate that with the feeling.
Well, Niyamakim does have.
Niyamakim we do, but not Esa
Enayamahara.
At least not with the
unless it's related to what Neil says, because it is brought down, if you want to look up to inspire your kavanah momentarily, that's acceptable.
I heard of a minhag the other night during Birkas Kohanim for some people to not to raise their hands above their heads, but to cup their hands as just to receive.
Like, give me five, brother.
Give me three in this case.
Three. Three times ten. Kama v'kama.
V'gimel brachos hanal hem gimel dirgos v'ha'alos haguf l'nefesh ruach neshama. These three brachos are three levels for the elevation of the body toward the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. That reminded me of a story when we were talking about tefillah, and Rabbi Twersky's Hillel Bracha related a maestro about his grandfather, who was Rabbi Hulamai Hornestibler, and he was the son of the Pelayois. He was once davening, and he had a window in front of his makom in his shul. And his chassidim came over to him afterwards, and they said to him, Rebbe, we learned that a person is not to say Shemona Esrei with their eyes open. Is that correct? He said, yes, sure, that's not allowed. So they said, then why was the Rebbe davening Shemona Esrei with his eyes open? So he said, is that so? I didn't know. For that kind of madrig, it doesn't matter if your eyes are open or not. I didn't know his eyes were open.
It's funny, I think I just read that something similar in the stories of the great Siddiqui.